Sunny Dollar.
30 days have September.
April, June, and November. November. All the rest have 31?
Except.
Okay, except. So today is February 27th. So this month we get cheated out a couple of days or two. So what, and who are you?
Oh, now, Johnny, after all these years.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
Fred McCracken, Johnny, Universal Adjustment Bureau.
Right, and I... Hey, you mean I sound like that over the phone?
Yeah, just like one of the pallbearers at your own funeral, Pat.
Okay, let's get down to business.
Yeah, why not? But what's the worry about February being a little short on days this year and every year?
Plenty, because of something that happened almost 6 years ago. A case that even the famous Johnny Dollar couldn't solve.
Oh, look, if you ever start adding up all the cases I haven't solved. Hey, wait a minute, 6 years ago?
That's right.
Bernard Margot.
That's right.
Barney the Bum. Pat, you know as well as I do that whole thing was a phony so that Big Mike Killian could collect Barney's $300,000 insurance, remember?
Well, I seem to remember you're spending a few thousand of the company's money trying to prove that. But I also remember you didn't even get to first base.
Because I couldn't find Barney, couldn't find where he'd skipped to.
But if you could now, before the 1st of March, you'd save the company the $300,000.
Pat, you mean you got a lead on him?
Maybe. Want to come over here and talk about it?
Brother, I sure do.
Radio brings you Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Munch, 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 bunch of Fritos. Corn chips, it's not polite to smack your lips, but you can't help it with...
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Universal Adjustment Bureau Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Look Before the Leap matter. Barney Margot, Barney the Bum, a strong arm for Big Mike Killian. In his case, it made me look like a fool. So, expense account item one, $1.25 for a cab to Pat McCracken's office.
This is one you'd really like to clean up, isn't it, Johnny? Sit up.
Pat, Eastern Trust and Insurance were crazy in the first place when they issued a big policy on the cheap mobster.
I know.
When they let him name Big Mike Killian as the beneficiary. Well, anybody with half a brain should have known something was wrong with
it. I know, Johnny.
And then to top it all by waving the suicide clause.
I know. The minute we found out about it, we asked them to cancel it, but we were too late. Barney Margot had apparently jumped off the bridge. And neither you nor the police nor anybody else at that time could prove that he hadn't.
And just because some of Barney's clothes were found in the water, because of that phony suicide note he left on the bridge.
Don't forget the witness, Johnny, the girl who saw him alone out there on the bridge before he disappeared.
Yeah,
who also saw something, presumably his body, topple off into the water.
Mady Prescott was in there.
Yeah, that's the one. And since Barney'd been seen going out of the bridge but didn't show up after what she saw...
So they took Big Mike Killian's word for it that Barney made the leap.
That's right.
Whereupon Big Mike immediately claimed the insurance.
However, Johnny, Killian has not been paid that $300,000, nor will he be if you can produce Barney Margot in time.
Yeah, but how much time?
Well, according to the final decision of the courts while we were fighting this payment, unless he's picked up before March 1st...
Oh, are you kidding, Pat? Today is the 27th of February, and
yes.
According to that little rhyme you tried to charm me with over the phone,
yes.
Tomorrow is the last
Johnny,
possible chance.
Johnny, will you listen?
Yeah, well.
The girl, that Mady Prescott, just came back from Paris.
Paris? Well, what's that got to do
she
with it?
She made a report to the police, and they passed it on to us. She says that only a few weeks ago, right there in Paris, she saw Bernard Margot.
Oh? Oh.
Yeah. Thanks to all the international red tape involved, there's no way we can possibly get him back here in time.
Well, even so...
What's more, all the proof in the world that he's still alive is no good unless he himself is brought back to New York.
Oh, now, wait.
Well, that was the decision of the court. That's the way it stands.
Oh, great.
But, Johnny, if you somehow... And believe me, not only I, but the police will close their eyes to whatever method you might have to use. If you could somehow get him back here in time... Well, I'm thinking about a $10,000 fee in addition to your expense account if you produce him. Nothing, of course, if you don't.
Before March 1st, it's impossible.
Yes, I know.
So, Pat, I'm going to try. emergency taxi, a train to New York, and a cab to the 10th floor apartment of Miss Mady Prescott.
I know, Mr. Dollar, my testimony that I'd seen him on the bridge and that I'd seen him drop off into the water.
Well, that testimony, Miss Prescott, may cost the insurance company $300,000 unless I can produce Barney Margot before March 1st.
Before March 1st?
Yeah, and you say that you saw him in Paris.
At an antique shop run by a Monsieur Dubesson.
Dubesson?
What?
Nothing. Go on.
Well, I was startled, to say the least. But I'm certain it was he, absolutely sure of it.
Well, you were also pretty certain you'd seen him go off that bridge.
I know, but I must have been wrong at that time.
So you could also be wrong now.
I know.
But it's the only thing I have to go on. And you know, since you mentioned the name Dubesson... Well, thanks very much, Miss Prescott. Dubesson's a fence there in Paris. Exactly the sort of character Barney the Bum might tie up with. Perhaps even as a contact for Big Mike Killigan. As I stepped into the self-service elevator to get back to the street, I wondered. But I didn't wonder for long about anything.
Okay, Jimmy, push that stop button.
Yeah, sure, Milford.
Between floors.
Yeah.
All right, what's the idea?
Johnny Dollar, huh?
Maybe.
So there's only one reason you'd be calling on the Prescott date.
What of it?
Big Mike didn't like you interfering when poor Barney died. He don't like it now.
Oh, well, that's just too bad.
In fact, he don't like you. Now, Jimmy.
No!
Yeah. Now, James, leave us dump this stiff in the basement.
It was the building superintendent who found me there in the basement, got me back on my feet again. Item 3, 10 cents for a call to one of the transatlantic airlines. Item 4, 31 bucks for a cablegram. Then item 5, a dollar for a cab to the 18th Precinct headquarters, my old pal Randy Singer.
Sure, Johnny. A couple of Big Mike Killian's boys must have been. You want me to have them picked up?
No.
Only I warn you, Killian will have an alibi for him, sure as gun.
Don't worry about him. I'll take care of that pair myself.
Well, now,
and
Johnny.
Randy, all I ask is that you stand by until I get back here from Paris.
Paris?
Yeah, somehow I got to perform a miracle. I got to bring Barney Margot back here before March 1st. Today's the 27th. That means I have until midnight tomorrow night. So long, Randy.
Johnny, wait a minute.
Sorry, but every second counts, and I just have time to catch a plane.
Johnny, listen.
So long, baby, and wish me luck. I'm going to need it.
Act 3 of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in just a moment.
Meet star Stuart Irwin.
Nothing's worse for an hour.
Item 6, $420 for a plane ticket to Paris. When we landed at Orly, I put in a call to Louis de Marsac, who calls himself a Chagri. If anyone in all of Paris knows the underworld, believe me, it's the Gray Cat. But I got no answer. Item 7, then, $2 American for a cab to the so-called antique shop of Francois Dubesson. It was there that Mady Prescott swore she'd seen Barney Margot. I knew better than to expect any real help from him, but he was my only chance and time was running out.
Monsieur, qu'est-ce que vous devez... Monsieur Johnny Dollar, the meddling American.
That's right, Dubesson.
And to what does the fair city of Paris owe the honor of your presence? Huh?
Bernard Margot.
Margot?
That's right. I want to know where he is, where I can find him.
Now, by what could you possibly think I might know this Bernard Margot?
Oh, don't start beating about the
and
bush.
And do you think that I would tell you anything of him if I did?
Now, look, Dubesson.
I have not forget the trouble you have made for me when you last come here. No. Maurice.
Monsieur.
Oh, no, you don't. Just stay where you are, Maurice.
Pardon, Monsieur Delay.
I suppose this gorilla is your bodyguard?
Not at all.
Well, if he tries to get rough, are you trying any tricks to us?
You are a smart man, Monsieur Delay, but also a fool.
Yeah.
Maurice, you have my permission to leave now to arrange the funeral of your friend.
Oh, bien, bien.
You see, your alarm was for nothing.
Okay. But now, about this Barney Margot.
I told you I knew nothing of him. And even if I did, do you forget, Monsieur, that you have no authority here in France?
Now, you listen.
In other words, why do you waste your time? When you know that All you will learn from me is nothing.
Threats, even the promise of a bribe, got me nowhere. So I left him, and again I put in a call to Louis de Marsac, my underworld contact. This time the line was busy, at least it meant he was home. So item 8, 320 American for a cab to the dingy little apartment at the far end of the Rue du Pas de la Moule. It's one of the most disreputable-looking buildings in the whole city. Dirty, squalid, falling apart at the seams. And, of course, Le Chagri had to live at the top of four long flights. When I finally got up there, feeling slightly winded, I noticed that his door at the end of the gaslit hallway was half open. I could see him inside, lying on the floor, the telephone dangling beside him. Hey, Louis. De Marsac.
Ah.
Huh?
Bien.
Maurice.
Bravo, monsieur.
Hello, I'm Burgess Meredith. Did you know there are over $3 million?
Only my sudden arrival had kept Maurice from killing Louis de Marsac. It got me that cloud on the head. But Maurice was gone now. After working over Louis for a few minutes, pouring some cognac into him, he finally came around.
Oh, Monsieur Dallaire.
Yeah, that's a stunt, Louis. Just let me help you up here on this couch.
Oh, but so much pain.
Yeah, you really got it, brother.
Well, only for you, my oldest, my dearest friend, would I suffer so?
Yeah, here. Take another slug of this.
No, no. No, alas. Even that will not mend my broken head.
Would a couple of $100 American help?
Eh? Oh?
Did you get my cablegram?
Oh, oui. And I found him for you.
Barney? Where?
It is worth perhaps $500.
$300.
But, monsieur...
Okay, $350. Where is he?
But if Monsieur Dubuisson finds out that it was I who took care of Barney Margot...
He already knows that I'm here. That's why he sent that Maurice character to arrange for a funeral.
Funeral?
And he was talking about your funeral. But now, wait. You say you've taken care of Barney the Bum?
It would perhaps be worth a little extra if I were to have him all tied up and waiting for you.
What? Listen, if you can actually deliver him to me, I'll give you $1,000 right now.
But I can, monsieur.
Where is he?
And perhaps $2,000 if I've arranged a way to get you both out of the country back to the United States without anybody knowing about
it. Yeah, $2,000. I'll cable it to you if I can get him back to the States before midnight tonight.
Oh, before midnight, you see?
New York time.
Well, we can try, monsieur.
Good. Now, let's get going.
But first, perhaps I'd better accept the $1,000 just in case.
All right. All or nothing. $2,500 if I make it.
Ah. Then come. First, we get Barney out of the closet here.
Out of this closet here in your room?
But of course.
Well, I'll be.
And then we drive to the airfield where the plane is waiting for you.
Believe me, we'd never have gotten away with a thing like this back in the States, or anywhere else I can think of, all without the help of the Chagri. After making sure that Barney was securely bound and gagged, we piled him into a car that de Marsac said was his, only I doubt it. We headed westward through Versailles to the city of... Well, maybe for diplomatic reasons, I better not mention the name of it. Anyhow, their little airport was an old amphibian plane waiting for us. This time it was a pilot I had to haggle with. $7,000 for the trip. But there were $300,000 at stake. Item 9 for a transatlantic call to Randy Singer in New York.
No, listen, Johnny. This is too wild, too crazy.
You got the ID for this plane? You've written it down?
Sure I have, but Johnny...
And all you have to do is get us a clearance to land if we make it.
You're out of your mind. This stunt could cause an international incident that even the United Nations couldn't...
You want Barney the Bum, don't you?
Well, of course we
do. Then I'll lay him right in your lap if you'll hang up the phone so that we can make our takeoff.
Johnny, listen to me.
Randy, I haven't got any more time to talk, because if I don't get Barney back there before midnight tonight...
No, Johnny, no, listen.
See you in New York. I hope. Oh, that plane trip was something I'll never forget. Sure, on the ground, the big amphibian looked pretty good. But up in the air, it shuddered and shook like the old crate it really was. And I wondered if she had enough gas aboard. What sort of double-talk the pilot used to keep us from being ordered down, I'll never know. Any second, I expected a bunch of fighter planes to start buzzing us. But somehow we made it. And Randy, bless his heart, and I don't know how he did it. Randy got us a clearance to land. Matter of fact, he even had an escort waiting for us to haul Barney off to the clink and take me back to the office at headquarters. Yeah, by some miracle, it all worked out. Except for one thing.
But so help me, Johnny, if you ever again try to pull a thing like...
Yeah, falling asleep again, huh? Just like you did all the way in from the airport.
Huh.
Well, I can't say that I blame you. Mission accomplished, all that sort of stuff.
Mission accomplished, huh?
Huh?
Did you happen to notice what time it was when we sat down at the airport?
Sure, right after midnight, 12:07.
Just exactly 7 minutes too late.
Too late?
Ruling of the courts, don't you get
Johnny.
It, Randy? In order to save the company paying off their 300,000 claims, I had to get him back here before midnight. Last night, February 28th, before the 1st of March.
Oh, now, wait.
The fortune I've run up and expenses has to come out of my own pocket.
Johnny!
And I thought I was going to make myself a cool $10,000 fee.
Listen!
You were right, Randy. I should have known better. It was crazy. The whole idea was completely crazy right from the beginning.
Johnny, will you listen to me?
If I had any sense, I'd blow my brains out. 7 minutes after midnight.
That's right, February 28th. So you've forgotten just one little thing.
Yeah.
This just happens to be 1960.
So what? I had to get that punk back here before the first of...
Yeah, leap year.
Randy.
That's right. So today just happens to be the day before the 1st of March, February 29th.
Oh, no. You mean I made it after all? You mean I...
Oh, no. It's a fact, Johnny. Fact.
You know something? I should have blown my brains out for forgetting that extra day this month, this year. But instead, I'll just take that $10,000 in fees. As for the expense account, hold your hat. $9,571. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.